For those of you that haven't been here, over the last few weeks, we've been doing a series entitled The Heart of the Church, which focuses on the most important aspect of church life. And we're continuing that today. So far, we've looked at worship, prayer, the Bible, care, discipleship, and mission. But before we focus on today, should I ask how you got on with last week's application? Do you remember last week's application? Last week's application was to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ with someone around you, to encourage someone doing mission. How many Jaffa cakes got sent? And did anybody put Jaffa cakes in the post? If you weren't here, you won't know. Perhaps this week it would be good to put Jaffa cakes in the post. And the third application was to help each other do mission in everyday life. That was to encourage each other just to work out how we do mission in our daily lives. Well, today we're going to turn to the next priority in the life of the church, which is to be partners of God. To be partners of God. To help us think about this subject, we're going to read from Philippians 1. Verses 3 to 11, but before we do that, we're going to read Acts 2. So if you're going to look up in your Bibles, put your finger in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, and then go back a little bit to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Hopefully it'll come up on the screen, but it's always good to have your Bibles with you, just in case technology lets us down. So Acts 2, verse 42 to 47. This is talking about the disciples. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And then on to Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Father God, we thank you for your word. Now we pray that you would speak to us by your Spirit. Keep us awake and alert as we listen to your word and as we seek to understand it. Give me your words and wisdom in what to say, that I might speak clearly what you have called me to say. Amen. This morning, as we consider those aspects of church life that are most important, we are going to look at being partners of God. And as you will have most probably already guessed, we are looking at the topic of fellowship. So you may well ask, why have I used the title Partners of God? Well, let me explain by reading some words from an eminent biblical scholar, Don Carson. It's a lengthy quote, But it's very important, so please do hang on in there and listen carefully. In essence, what he says is the main aim of this morning. So this is what he says. In common use, fellowship has become somewhat debased, the word fellowship. If you invite a pagan neighbour to your home for a cup of tea, it's friendship. If you invite a Christian neighbour, it's fellowship. If you attend a meeting at church and leave as soon as it's over, you've participated in a service. If you stay for coffee afterwards, you have enjoyed some fellowship. In modern use, then, fellowship has come to mean something like warm friendship with believers. In the first century, however, the word commonly had commercial overtones. If John and Harry buy a boat and start a fishing business, they have entered into fellowship, a partnership. Intriguingly, even in the New Testament, the word is often tied with financial matters. Thus, when the Macedonian Christians send money to help the poor Christians in Jerusalem, they have entered into fellowship with them. The heart of true fellowship is self-sacrificing conformity to a shared vision. The heart of true fellowship is self-sacrificing conformity to a shared vision. Both John and Harry put their savings into the fishing boat. Now they share the vision that will put the fledgling company on its feet. Christian fellowship, then, is self-sacrificing conformity to the gospel. There may be overtones of warmth and intimacy, but the heart of the matter is this shared vision of what is transcendent importance, a vision that calls forth commitment. So when Paul gives thanks with joy because of the Philippians' partnership in the gospel, or fellowship in the gospel, he is thanking God that these brothers and sisters in Christ, from the moment of their conversion, from the first day until now, as Paul writes, rolled up their sleeves and got involved in the advance of the gospel. That's the end of the quote. If you get nothing more from this morning's sermon, please understand that Christian fellowship isn't warm friendship with believers, but rather the heart of true fellowship is self-sacrificing conformity to a shared vision, the gospel. That is the crux of what I want to say this morning. And I couldn't say it any better than Don Carson. But you wouldn't expect me to preach and just leave it at that. Fellowship, as often talked about, that soft, warm, getting to know each other better, should not be our priority. Instead, the hard and uncomfortable self-sacrificing conformity to a shared vision must. That is our priority, not getting to know each other better. Having set out our stall in terms of fellowship, let's look at this passage together to understand what it tells us about being partners of God. And for those taking notes and to help you guide through this, we're going to look at the passage under three headings. God, the basis for partnership; the gospel, the substance of partnership; and glory, the goal of partnership. God, the basis of partnership; the gospel, the substance of partnership; and glory, the goal of partnership. So looking at God, the basis of partnership, let's look at verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. It sounds almost too basic to mention, but the only true basis for Christian partnership is a relationship with the living God. Christian fellowship, that word koinonia, sorry, Andy, could you just not put the words up because it blinds me? Sorry. The Christian word koinonia is Trinitarian. It is our common share in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is the basis of partnership. We must never forget that our partnership together as Christians is found on God Himself. This may be very basic, but it's also very important. Our partnership with each other is based on sharing God's grace. None of us enter this partnership with our own merit. We all enter it purely and simply on the grace of God. And if we don't recognize that our partnership is based on God's grace, then it will be so easy for us to pick and choose those with whom we have fellowship. If we didn't recognize that our partnership is based purely and simply on the grace of God, and He is the basis for our fellowship, we could say, oh, I'm not keen on you. I won't have fellowship with you. There is that old adage saying, you can't choose your family, but you can't choose... What was it? You can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family, or something like that. Well, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your fellowship, because your fellowship is your family. It is the one that God has chosen for you. And if we think that we can just say, I get on with Jim in church. He's a nice guy. I'm going to have fellowship with him. But, Christine, she's a bit of a dragon. I can't have fellowship with her. It just wouldn't work. We cannot choose who we have fellowship with. We are pulled together, called together by God. And it is on the basis of that. It's because God is gracious to me and has forgiven all my sins that I can get on with Christine, even if she is a dragon, because God has forgiven her sins, and the grace that has abounded for me has abounded for her too. In actual fact, the grace that has abounded for her has far more abounded for me. Because whilst Christine may be an absolute dragon, I am far worse. That grace that abounded for her abounds for me also. And it is only on that basis of that grace that we can come together. It is God that is the basis for our fellowship. We find that self-sacrificing element that marks out true Christian fellowship once we realize it's all about God and His grace. And we don't say, oh, I'm going to be in fellowship with those and I'm not going to be in fellowship with those. It's not a warm, cozy feeling. The gospel is the substance of partnership. Look at verse 4. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Here we see the substance of partnership. It is a partnership in the gospel. As Don Carson put it, Christian fellowship then is self-sacrificing conformity to the gospel. They rolled up their sleeves and got involved in advancing the gospel. Our focus should not be on getting to know each other better, having fellowship meals, parties and the like. Our Christmas dinner isn't a fellowship meal. In itself. That is not what it's about. Our focus shouldn't be on doing that. That is a byproduct of our fellowship. Our focus should be on advancing the gospel. That is where we find true Christian fellowship, as we focus our attentions on advancing the gospel, as this becomes the substance of our partnership. Yes, it's right to do things like Christmas meals and have events where we get to know each other better. But the focus of our fellowship should be on sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And as we focus on that, as we work together on that, we grow as a fellowship closer together. We partner with one another. The partnership is that of those who serve together on the front line of battle for God's kingdom. You will talk to anybody that's in the army or in other services. They say there is a camaraderie, a fellowship, a partnership, because you have each other's back. You work together. Your life depends on the person next to you. And that is what church life should be like. We are fighting the battle for the kingdom of God. And it is only in fighting the battle And if we focus more on the battle that we're fighting, we would grow together in fellowship. It's when we try and focus on fellowship that we forget the battle. And we focus on becoming friends with those around us. But that's not what we should be doing. We should be focusing on the battle. And then the people around us will be stronger and gathered in with us. And we'll realize that these people have got our backs and we've got their backs. And we're fighting together for a battle. And it is a conflict in which we fight. And if we support each other through the pain and heartache of investing our lives in the lives of those around us, we will see true partnership. And as we pray for one another, so, as Paul puts it, deep affection abounds. As I was preparing for this morning, I too thought of what I think it was Annika said in the service about praying through the members list. The address book. If you pray for one another and you devote yourself to the prayer for one another, we will grow in fellowship. It is as you support one another in the battle of life that we will grow. And it is that substance of the partnership, the gospel, that has got to be at our heart. Moving on to the third point, the glory, the goal of partnership. Look at verse 9. And this is my prayer, that you may your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. In these verses, we see yet another important aspect of true Christian fellowship. The ultimate goal of this partnership is the glory and praise of God. One of the things I struggle in my Christian life to understand, to comprehend, is that God intends that the church be the means by which his manifold wisdom is made known. God's church is the way he wants to show his manifold wisdom to the principalities and powers to the world. This is why fellowship is fundamentally important. It is because you and I together, working in partnership, and that's what the church is about, we are going to show God's glory to the world around us. That is the goal of our partnership. That's why we're together. God has chosen a people for himself. He has entered into a relationship with us. And through the work of the cross, we are being transformed into his likeness. The church is the crucible in which God refines his people. The church is the crucible in which God refines his people. It's the training ground for holiness. It's as we rub up against one another and we find difficult people amongst the other people, because of course we're never the difficult ones. It's always the other people that are the difficult ones. But it's as we rub up against one another that we grow and are refined in holiness. Partnership, as we understand it, fellowship in the gospel, is a commercial arrangement. It's as two people, multiple people, commit into a financial agreement. It was called fellowship. They commit resources into that. And if you've ever been in a partnership, and Ian's out, I don't know whether he's doing Sunday school or he's praying to somebody, but doctors often enter into a partnership. My brother-in-law is a doctor and he's in a partnership. He can't get out of that partnership without immense difficulty. Once you're into that partnership as a doctor, you're kind of locked into it. They put their lives and everything around the place where they live. They can't move until he retires, and then they get rid of that partnership. They dissolve that partnership. And the church should be similarly. We should give ourselves wholly. We should buy into the church. And we should put in our lives and ourselves. That is what partnership is. That is what fellowship is. It says, I am totally bought into this place. I am 100% committed to this place. This is my family. I have bought into this. I think what should happen as part of our membership of the church, we should be asked to give all of our life savings and ask the church to hold it in trust for us. Because that way, we wouldn't leave church so quickly. We give up on church so easily. We say, we've become consumers, and we think that we could say, this church has better children's work. My children will be looked after better here. Or we say, that person didn't care for me, and therefore I'm going. Or so-and-so said that to me, and I get upset. I'm upset by it, and I'm going to go. That is not partnership. That is some warm, fluffy friendship. And if it doesn't go well for you, you just disappear. Partnership, and we've done it in society in marriage. We give up on marriage too easily. And the world says, they've done this. They're irreconcilable differences. When you commit to marriage, you commit to marriage. And we have tough periods. It's difficult. And sometimes you need, one of the reasons we've stayed together as a married couple is not because it's been easy. Let me tell you. No, I won't go there. We stuck with it because we committed to it. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, partnership in the gospel, partnership being part of the church, is sticking with it because you've committed to it, not upping and going because, this doesn't provide for this need, or this person's upset me. It is a total 100% commitment to what God has done. If we don't have that, it will not be the crucible for growth. Because if there is a refining fire, if God is going to bring fire and pain and anguish, and we're up and leave at the first instance of pain and anguish, God will never be able to refine us. If you move church just because you don't like this or don't like that, you will move to another one, and you'll then go up and you'll move anytime anything goes on. One of the great things about partnership is saying, I am committed to this place. And this is where God's called me. Therefore, I think you should choose church very carefully. Because once you've chosen it, you should be sticking with it through thick and thin. And saying that as long as the gospel is being preached, I am in it. And I'm not giving up. Because if you give up, then God has no way in which he can develop the riches of his holiness through one another. Because there will be no time of testing, because you will be up and gone at that time. It is the training ground for holiness, and the committed nature of this partnership is what is needed if God's glory is to be achieved. So having recognized that true Christian fellowship isn't just about warm friendship with believers, let's be exactly clear what it is. True Christian fellowship is about partnership. It is God-centered and gospel-oriented. God-centered and gospel-oriented. It is being the body by serving in battle. It is being the body by serving in battle. We use our gifts. The tree is wonderful. We have fruits and gifts and things that we are to give. It is as we give those that we will see the church flourish. It is as we function as a part of the body in the place where God has called us that we will see the church fellowship grow. How do we get fellowship working? We don't focus on fellowship. We focus on what God has gifted us to do. And if God has gifted you to preach, then preach. If God has gifted you to lead, then lead. If God has gifted you in this way or that way, use your gifts in the place God has called you to be, and we will see fellowship develop. Because it is as we are, who we were designed to be, we will see fellowship. It's the body. It's being the body by serving in the battle. It's committed together to enable growth. And it's the demonstration of God's wisdom. That is what true Christian fellowship is. It's not something light.
It is a partnership to which we should be committed. Let me tell you this. And I speak to myself as much as I speak to you, always. Whenever I preach this to myself first. If we think that we're ever going to experience true Christian fellowship just meeting together on Sundays or by having the occasional church get-together, then we are totally and utterly deluded. If your church commitment is once, possibly twice on Sunday, then don't ever expect to see true Christian fellowship. It's hard. In practice, we must give ourselves. Looking at Acts 2, 42 and following, it points us in the right direction. It requires devoted, God-centered, life-transforming, awe-inspiring daily meetings. Whoa. If every day we got together, then we might see fellowship. I think we play at church too often. We say, oh, I'll go to house group. I'm a bit tired tonight. I've had a busy day. I was working late. I won't go to house group. In actual fact, I don't like the people in my house group. It doesn't do it for me. I won't go. I won't join a house group because actually I'm more of an introvert. I like my space. I like to do things on my own. I like my own personal meditation, you know. If I can do 20 minutes of silence, as Tricia said, which is totally outside of my comfort zone, we have got to learn to be self-sacrificing and do things that are not our comfort zone. We don't go to house group because we would like it. If you like your house group, praise God. But if you don't, go to it. Still. Sorry, if you don't go to it. No. If you don't like it, still go to it. I was going to say something I shouldn't. I won't. Thank you, Lord. We really need to get something together with this commitment. Fellowship is about a committed partnership. It's like a marriage. You buy into it and you stick with it through thick and thin. I would want to encourage you, each and every one of you, myself included, is let's get on and do a bit more fellowship. If you're not part of house group, try. Get involved. When was the last time you sat and had communion with some friends? When did you last have a meal with somebody that wasn't just a nice few beers and a nice meal and watch the rugby? When was the last time that you had people round and you gave them a good meal, even though it's expensive these days, isn't it? And you self-sacrificed on behalf of that, and you gave a meal, and you shared something about God. I loved Saturday morning. It was totally crazy. It didn't go the way I wanted it, but I loved hearing people's stories. It was great. I loved the way that God has worked in people's lives. It inspired me immensely. And I'm looking forward to Deb's planning some meals, and we're trying to put this. She was trying to do this before I preached, but we're trying to put this into practice by trying to have people round. And I'm really excited by the fact that when we do that, we're going to hear some stories, and we're going to make it God-centered, and we're going to hear some stories about how they came to know Christ. How exciting is that going to be? That is the start. It's still paddling in the shallows of fellowship. But let us commit to one another and and give ourselves wholeheartedly to the gospel, which is what we should be fighting for. And let us devote ourselves to one another, breaking bread in each other's houses. We're going to conclude our service with worship. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Father God, we pray. This has been a hard message, I'm sure, for folk to hear. It's been hard for me to hear as well. I recognise that I don't do fellowship in the way that you would want me to do it. We satisfy ourselves with so little, and we're not so committed when the going gets tough. The only way we can do that, Father God, is if we have a deep, deep relationship with you. Draw us into that relationship this week, we pray. Help us to commit to faithfulness in fellowship. In Jesus' name.